Okay. All right, 45 minutes. All right, I'm actually going to start this, and we'll see if I can actually get there. It doesn't mean. I told Brian a while ago, I said, he got the two long-winded preachers scheduled tonight. And so, yeah, get us out of the way, get us done. So, there you go. Well, I don't know if I can follow that, but I've got a song if you want me to sing one. I typically do. I always say that they don't have to ask me to sing. They have to tell me not to sing. And so my wife told me a few minutes ago, she said, I'm going to stop this because if I'm going to sing, then I'm gonna, you know, I got to leave my preaching time separate from my singing time. But my wife said, they've got a lady that's going to sing, and so you might not want to sing. And then Steve says, you're going to sing, aren't you? So I do have a song. And my chemo brain now is I have to have help. So I still deal with that. But, yeah, there you go. That's right. All right. Brother Steve said I could sing. All right. And so there you go. We'll see. Let's say I'm gonna put out the words of the song. Let's see if it actually is singing or not. And as I've always said, I'm not a singer, but I like to sing. And so we'll see what happens with it. All right. This is an old song that's been around forever. And a lot of the songs, if y'all have heard me sing much, I sing old songs from the old boys' home days. And a lot of these songs have connections back to Brother Lester Roloff, who had an influence in our lives and my life at a young age. And here's an old song Brother Roloff used to sing, and we'll see how it goes. It's called Deeper Than the Stain Has Gone. Dark the sin that sold men's nature, long the distance that he fell, far removed from hope and heaven, near to deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain opened, and the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Praise the Lord for full salvation. God still lives upon the throne. And I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Conscious of that deep pollution, sinners wander on in the night. Even though the shepherd's calling, still they fear to face the light. Death's the tender consolation that should melt the old heart of stone. This sweet balm of Gilead reaches deeper than the stain has gone. All unworthy we who wandered, and our eyes are wet with tears, as we think of the love that sought us through those dreary wasted years. Then we'll walk the holy highway for the pure, the blood-washed alone, knowing Calvary's fountain reaches deeper than the stain has gone. When with holy throngs we're standing in the presence of the great King, and our souls are lost in wonder as the white robe choir shall sing, then we'll praise the name of Jesus with the millions all around the throne. Gonna praise him for the blood that reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Praise the Lord for full salvation. God still lives upon the throne. And I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Amen. 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 I appreciate that. That's a real good singer doesn't get emotionally taught up like that. So that's why I'll never be a good singer. But there's some songs I never can get through without having to fight back the tears, and sometimes I don't get through them at all. But if y'all know me and know my story and how God rescued me, a song like that really goes deeper than the stain is gone. Because for me, that stain was pretty deep. And I suspect you'd say the same thing about your stain. Praise the Lord for full salvation. Amen. All right. In your Bible, if you will, turn to Acts chapter 20. We're going to start there. And we'll see, like Steve says, I have a lot of preparation. So I'll try to watch my time and... No promises, but I'll try to watch my time, and when I run out of time, I'll try to wrap it up and quit. So we'll see how it goes. Amen. Acts chapter 20. And kind of by way of introduction, let me make a few comments and just kind of a consensus. I think about all the preachers that are going to preach on the platform this weekend, and there's other preachers and Bible teachers that are here, and as I think about that, then I've pondered all those things that we have in common in this place. I'd venture to say that I'm sure that every man that steps up on this pulpit, behind this pulpit, believes that the King James Bible is the Word of God without error. Amen. And if Steve ever had someone up here that didn't believe that, he wouldn't know it. And, it's one of those, it might be a first time, but it would be the last as well. King James Bible is the Word of God. Inspired, preserved, without error. We all agree on that. Every preacher that's going to preach agrees on that. We all agree that the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Romans chapter 4 there, He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Boy, Romans 5 is one of my favorite places. Peace with God. See, I want to start preaching all that stuff. We all believe in forgiveness based on the work of the cross. We might have a different view here or there, but we all believe there is no forgiveness without the cross. We all believe Paul's our apostle. We would all agree that Peter's not our apostle, James is not our apostle, John's not our apostle, Paul's our apostle. We get our doctrine from Paul. We all agree that Peter and Paul preached two different messages, and Paul never preached Peter's gospel, and Peter never preached Paul's gospel. We all agree on that. We separate law from grace and mystery from prophecy and the church at Jerusalem from the church which is His body. And we all believe and preach one baptism. And that baptism is the baptism by the Spirit into the body of Christ. We all understand that there's differences between Paul's ministry in Acts during the missionary journeys and those things he wrote during that time and his post-Acts or prison epistle ministry. And we all know that there's differences in those things and we all agree on things. We may discuss it a little different, but we all know there's differences. We all believe in a pre-trib rapture of the church. Pre-trib, pre-millennial, you know, all that stuff. We all believe in the judgment seat of Christ. And so I've kind of run the gamut there from the book in our hand to the gospel we believe and the doctrine we hold and where we're going to be caught up, and one day we'll give an account for the works done in this body, how we built upon that foundation, 1 Corinthians 3. We all agree on that stuff, and everybody can say, "Amen, Brother Sam, preach it." And then Paul gives us some warnings, though. And now I need to stop here because I just turned my page and I remembered something I've got to do. I sung the song and it got me off my plan. You're in Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to read there and we'll pick up with the message from there. But I laid that foundation. But before I go any farther, let me say this. The word thanks is not a big enough word for me to express to all of y'all how you've prayed for us and prayed for me and how you've given and supported. I'm overwhelmed. I go to the mailbox and I open up a check and there's a check for $2,000 or a check for $5,000 or a check for $500 or a check for $200, and some of you are still sending checks, and I get checks for $60 every month and $200 about every month, words can't express how grateful we are. There was a time that I really wasn't able to work at all, and now I'm back to where I can work a couple of days a week, and of course, obviously that helps, but how you've given and how you've prayed, and even since we've been here, you've come up and said, "Brother Sam, we have been praying for you." And again, the word thanks is not a big enough word. How grateful we are. And I can't express that strong enough. And then without going into all the details, but the cancer update is that I'm doing better than I was told I would ever do. And I'm thanking God for that. I'm not cancer free. I still take a chemo pill. If I've known you and I've spoken to you and I've called your name many times, but you walk up to me, tell me your name. Because I still have chemo brain. And so it may show up while I'm preaching tonight. But I'm still taking chemo pill and I'm still fighting the thing. I'm not done with it. But I'm better now than the doctors had told me previously that I would ever be. And I'm grateful for that. And so I felt like I needed to say those things before I got too far into it. And Steve taught me that. Steve gets up on Sunday mornings and he gives his message, starts his message, gives his text, and he'll sometimes preach for a couple of minutes, and then he'll say, "Wait a minute, stop. By the way, let me tell y'all, I appreciate those of you out there on Facebook land and out there on YouTube and watching through the live stream." Doesn't Steve do that? Y'all watch Steve? Okay, so he taught me how to do that, see? So I'm learning from Steve. If I said, "Hey, let's have a Bible class," that'd be Brother Jerry. So y'all know how that goes, right? All right. So you learn those things. All right. But at any rate, let's go to Acts chapter 20. And I've indicated those things, and we could probably talk about other things. You know, anytime you give a list, somebody's going to sit down there and say, "Well, if I'd have been talking about that, I'd have had this on the list. And if I missed what you would have had, I'm sorry, forgive me. I'll let you write my notes next time." All right. But we talked about those common things. And those things that every preacher that's here is going to preach and that believes, and as we carry on our ministry is to teach those who listen and tune in to the messages here on Sunday morning or YouTube or Facebook or however it is you listen to our messages, whether in person or out there on the internet, we all have these things in common. But Acts chapter 20. Let's pick up, and I want to read a passage, and I'll make some more comments as we go along, and then we'll just kind of walk through our Bible until I run slap out of time. Acts chapter 20, begin at verse 25. Now again, those of you who've been around a little while, you're familiar with where we are in Acts chapter 20. Paul's called the Ephesian elders together, and he's speaking to them. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's been told, you ought not to go. When you go, you're going to get in trouble. And he says, I got to go. And so he's set in his own spirit. He's set his mind. He's going to Jerusalem, come hell or high water. He's going. And so he's talking to the Ephesian elders, and he's giving them some warnings here, and beginning at verse 25. We'll read down through verse 32. He says, and now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. He didn't say the kingdom of heaven, did he? He said the kingdom of God. Jerry helps us with that, I think. All right. Verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And so as Paul is talking to these Ephesian elders, he tells them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I think this is the last time you're going to see me. And as you finish the chapter, it says that they wept, they were in tears because he said that, you know, they'd see him no more. Paul had spent a lot of time there in Ephesus and had invested a lot of time in these folks. And so he's giving a warning to them though. He says, when I leave, there's going to be some folks rise up. Grievous wolves. That's pretty descriptive. And he says, there's going to be some grievous wolves that enter in among you. So that's somebody who maybe comes from the outside and comes in. Grievous wolves enter in among you. But then he goes on to say, verse 30, and of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. And so he's warning them about doctrinal error in bad teaching coming from without and coming in, and even rising up from within. You see, there's a reason I mentioned all those things that we all have in common. We preach those things. We teach those things. Some of these guys have been preaching and teaching those things and preaching and teaching together for longer than they want to talk about. 40, 50 years, I guess. Long time. And that's one of the things that I appreciate. I can come to this conference and I know that these things I'm going to hear. Now this guy might have a little different flavor here and this guy might have a little different flavor here, but there are certain things we're going to hear. But we know that out there, and this has really been brought to mind recently, and I'll tell you a little incident that has taken place. It's I had a lady start, and I'm going to be real careful. My wife warns me not to call names. And if you want to ask me later, Brother Sam, about that, who were you talking to? Well, I'll tell you. I'm just not going to do it up here. Stay out of trouble with my wife. and what?
And the lady.
And the lady, yeah. And so, yeah. So there's a lady. She sent me a Facebook request and a friend request, and I accepted it, and she's out from Dallas, Texas, and she's a widow lady. Her husband was a Bible teacher and a preacher out there, and so this lady was liking some of my stuff and making positive comments on some of my stuff, and seemed like she was even sharing some of my stuff, and things were going pretty good. And then she shared me a message from her deceased husband, and that claimed to be a Pauline dispensational grace gospel preacher. And what started that was, you know, I do these things every every day I pick a word and I go through the Bible and I list that word and a scripture reference about that word. I do that and I just pick a word and we'll go through the Bible. So I was doing glory. So we got to Revelation and I had glory, day 295, whatever it was. And then I had in parentheses, remember that John is an apostle of Israel. There's nothing that John writes that he writes to the church, the body of Christ. He writes to Israel. And so when you're reading Revelation or anything John writes, remember that. And then I would give, you know, whatever the reference was in Revelation. Well, this lady made a comment. She said, Brother Sam, I understand about Revelation, but surely you don't mean the book of John and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. I said, well, yeah, I do. And so she sent me, I think, private message, a message from her husband, and I listened to it, and she sent me the message. She said, you probably won't agree with anything in here. And I said, well, I'll listen. So I listened to the message, and there was a lot of it that I could agree with. But I made a point as I'd go through, and I'd stop it when he'd say something that I ain't quite right. And so I'd put down, just so many minutes into the message, here's what he said, and I do take issue with that. Just a little one-line sentence. And I made 4, 5, 6 comments out of the message about that. I said, there was a lot of it I liked, but these right here I've got a question about. And I sent that to her private message. Well, guess what? And I sent her some other things. I said, here's the link to some messages I did on John chapter 3. And John 14. I did a series called Familiar Passages Dispensationally Considered. And I went through that stuff. So I sent her the link. Well, anyway, she goes to her Facebook page and she copies out the remarks I made about her husband's message. She posts that on her page and she said, I'm putting this out there for discussion. Okay? So I made a comment. We ought to share everything I said in that private message. And so I copied and pasted from the message and put it on the comments. Well, buddy, the race began. And I don't know how many comments that went, and if you came and asked me the woman's name, you can't go find it because eventually she took the whole thing down. But her husband taught Paul's the apostle for the church, the body of Christ. But he also taught that Peter, James, and John eventually understood and began to preach the same thing Paul preached. He taught that the book of John is a bridge from law to grace. And man, I've gone in there and looked at that again. I said, ain't no way. Man, they were citing John 3. Man, if we ain't in John 3, we can't be saved. How are you going to be born again? You've got to be born again. And they got over John 14, promise of sending the Comforter and the Holy Spirit. Man, that's where the church, and I mean, right on down the line. And I go, as I get older, I'm trying to be more reserved and more polished and not as, you know, caustic in my replies, especially in public, and so as it all came to an end, and I would try to share things, and I could see I was getting nowhere. And let me tell you why I wasn't getting anywhere: because these people were not following the book; they were following a preacher, a dead preacher, and oh man, a dead preacher they loved. We're not going to let you come here on this man's widow's page and preach this heresy and false gospel. We're going to pray you get saved. I mean, that's where it all came to. And I said, folks, there's two verses you can't get around. I said, the one verse is there in John chapter 20 where John writes and says, the reason I wrote the book is so that you could believe on Jesus as the Son of God. John tells us, why did he write the book of John? So they could believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Well, and I told him, you can believe Jesus is the Son of God all you want to, and you'll die and go to hell. They needed to believe, the audience that John wrote to, they needed to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I mean, that's what he told them back there in Matthew 16. Upon the rock at the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was going to be what that church in Jerusalem was built on. Well, of course, they believed that the church in Jerusalem was us, and they just didn't know anything until Paul came along. But when Paul came along, well, then he educated the rest of them, and they all... So I said, number one, you can't get around... My chemo brain's not letting me tell you, but you know the verse is in there. I think it's John 20. Can't tell you the verse, but it's where he says, the reason I wrote the book is so that you would believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I said, that's one verse you can't get around. The second verse you can't get around is Galatians 2, chapter 2, around about verse 9, where it says that Paul and Barnabas would go into the heathen, and James, Cephas, and John would go to the circumcision. I said, if they had a Holy Ghost anointed agreement between apostles of Israel and the apostle of the Gentiles, and that agreement that they made and right hand of fellowship that they made, that Paul would go to the heathen and they would go to the circumcision, I said, unless John broke that agreement and lied in Acts 15, Galatians 2, then John never wrote anything to us. He wrote to the circumcision. I said, y'all, if you can get around those two verses, we'll go. That's about when the conversation ended. Because they couldn't get around those two verses. I said, it's really simple. But here's the point of it all. They believed in the preacher. They were following the preacher. Did he preach Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles? Well, that's what he said. But he also said Peter, James, and John became. And so on down the road. Years ago, when I first started learning this stuff, and some of y'all know who I'm talking about because we talked about it before, there's a fellow down in Hayden, Alabama. And he's a Bible teacher. And he's up in his 90s, I guess, now. And he used to travel like a lot of y'all do, and he had Bible classes all over the places, and he would go and he would travel. And when I first came around him, he was preaching the same thing we preach. I mean, the first time I went to visit his assembly outside of, I think it was Mount Olive, Alabama, one Sunday morning, Big Saver store was the storefront where he was, and I went in there, and I mean, I'm a senior in Tennessee Temple Bible College, you know, Independent Baptist Bible College, and I'm just now seeing this stuff and learning this stuff, and I've been reading. I go sit there, and that's back in the days with we still had metal folding chairs and chalkboards. And he's preaching through the early Acts, and he's preaching just like you and I would preach Acts chapter 2 today. Man, I rushed up to him, and where'd you learn that? Well, it's just right there, you know, and he's teaching that. Well, he helped me a lot to get started back then. And he let me know that I wasn't going crazy, and I wasn't the only one seeing this stuff. Of course, I was here in Chattanooga about the time some of y'all were around here, and boy, I wish I'd have gotten hooked up with some of y'all back in 1972, 73, 74, back in those, you know, early mid-70s. Well, as he continued to teach over the course of years, guess what he did? He left it. Now he's pretty much a full-blown preterist. I mean, off the reservation. Now, here's the point I'm going to make about all that. The Bible classes he was teaching, guess what they did? They followed him down that yellow brick road. Right on down through there. Now, he might have had one or two leave, but the majority stayed with him. We know a guy over in Kingsport, Tennessee. Used to put on the Smoky Mountain Bible Conference in Pigeon Forge. Big to do. Brought in everybody, you know, and big conference. He got sideways with Richard Jordan one time over not even a secondary issue, a third, fourth, fifth issue. Got sideways, left Pauline mid-Acts dispensational truth, began to preach against it. Right on down the road. And you know what people did? They followed him down that road. We got a guy up in New England right now. And people are listening to him. He used to be a darling at a bunch of the Bible conferences up north. And this guy is now saying that there is no judgment seat of Christ. The guy never... I'm going to get in trouble with this one. The guy never believed in universal forgiveness. You know, one of the folks people say, for those who believe in universal forgiveness, they said, it's going to take them to universal salvation. I don't believe in universal salvation. I don't see that I ever would believe in universal salvation. Well, this guy never believed or taught universal forgiveness, probably taught against it, but guess what he's teaching today? I'm talking about last Sunday. Universal salvation for all. If you got to go to him, and he'll tell you in Paul's epistles what was written to the little flock and what was written to the body of Christ. But you got to go to him to get that, because you ain't going to get it just reading it. So what's the point? The point is, Paul warned us 1900 years ago when he spoke to the Ephesian elders. He said, after my departure, grievous wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. And we can fight about what he's talking about the flock. You know, go fight about that. I ain't fighting about that. You talked about that just recently, I think, Jerry. And you had about the same kind of comment. I'm not going to fight about what that is. And then he warned about those from within wanting to draw folks after themselves. You've heard me give that analogy many times. Bony fish. If we're going to title the message, it's bony fish. Preachers are like fish dinners. Enjoy the fish, set the bones to the side. You realize, as you keep eating the fish, some fish got a few bones in them. I'd say we all do. We all have our own little quirk. Something about us that we don't just get up and preach everywhere, because if we did, you know, we'd lose friends over it. Everybody's got a little something weird about them. We all agree on this big stuff, but you know. So all preachers and their messages are like fish dinners. And we all got a little bone in us. Enjoy the fish, set the bones to the side. As you keep going there to the dinner, to the fish, you find out some fish are bonier than others. And as you keep listening and keep going and getting the fish, you find out some fish are just too stinking bony to mess with. Can I find an edible burrito in the dumpster behind Taco Bell? I'm sure I can. You know, they fixed one for my wife. They put sour cream on it. It's hot. She's not going to eat it. I take it back. They're going to throw it away. Somebody comes along, they haul that out to the trash. If I was to chase them out there, I could get me a hot burrito if I was fast enough. But I'm not going to dig through the dumpster to find one hot burrito. Does that make sense? It's funny how just common sense works, isn't it? So enjoy the fish. Set the bones to the side. When the fish gets too bony, quit messing with it. Don't go to the dumpster behind Taco Bell looking for burritos. Just go up front and buy one. They're cheap. Folks, it's got to be about the message, not the messenger. I,
Full disclosure. I've come to this conference and heard speakers get up. The doctrine was really good. But boy, the delivery was just as dry as chalk on a chalkboard. Y'all ever done that?
I'm sorry.
I mean, you know that's true. We love the doctrine, but we just don't like the way it's presented. Man, that guy, he's hard to listen to. Doctrine's good, he's hard to listen to. Then there's others that come, boy, I want to make sure I don't miss this one. I like listening to this guy. Some of y'all are wishing you'd have missed tonight. Somebody, I like more rock and roll than I do country, you know. So Paul gave that warning. Romans chapter 12. We're just going to walk through. You say, Brother Sam, you've done a lot of talking. You haven't given us much scripture. All these other preachers, they're going to give you all kinds of scripture. So in the time I've got left, let me give you as much scripture as I can give you. I think my point's been made, but let's back it up with scripture now. Besides Acts chapter 20, go to what Paul, that's what Luke said that Paul said in there, but now let's go look and see what Paul said. Look what he said in Acts chapter 12, just drop in at verse 3. We're familiar with verse 1 and 2, but Romans, yes, thank you. Chemo brain again, there you go. Romans chapter 12, drop in at verse 3. Thank y'all for keeping me straight. Verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Folks, anything that I've got that's Bible truth, I got from the Lord. I'm nothing. I say all the time, don't ever go away from a message that I've preached, where I've pastored, and anywhere I've had a Bible class. I've always told the folks, never walk away from here when you're talking to somebody about a scriptural truth and say, "Brother Sam said." Never do that. I have no authority whatsoever. But this book does. And so Paul makes it real clear. Make sure. He says, "I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." And folks, we got to be careful about that. Get a little following. Get a few people saying amen, a few people patting you on the back, and all of a sudden, hey, I'm getting to be big stuff. You get invited to preach at the right Bible conference, you know. Hey, I'm big stuff. I'm on the platform with these fellows. Now again, nobody's going to think that if you share the platform with me. But you know, there's places you go where that happens, even in our circles. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You see, anything we've got to give you that's worthwhile, we got it from the Lord, from the book. Don't ever let it be about the messenger. Let it be about the message. You may like the delivery style of the messenger, but when the messenger departs from the message, that fish just got too bony to mess with. Let him go on down the merry way and you cut and go another direction. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. See, I've done made Steve mad. He's leaving. First Corinthians chapter 1. Begin at verse 11. We know, I always comment about this, it always amazes me when you go out somewhere and you see some church that's got the name Corinth on it and there's no community or nothing anywhere around named Corinth. Why would any church put the name Corinth on their name? I mean, if you live in Corinth, Mississippi, I understand. Corinth Bible Church or something, that's fine. If you have a community named Corinth, that's fine. But just out there in the middle of nowhere, and instead of Grace or Calvary or whatever, you name it, Corinth. So we know who the church of Corinth is. So just dropping in at verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe. Oh, Chloe was a tattletale. That there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Well, just to bring that out, I appreciate folks who like my preaching. Jerry appreciates folks who likes his preaching. Everybody in here appreciates folks who likes their preaching. But again, it cannot be about the messenger. It's got to be about the message. And when, if that time ever comes and I depart from the message, I don't care how much you like my style, send me on my way. Let old Brother Sam ride out into the sunset and you don't go with him. We make a big deal. We like certain preachers, and that's fine. We like certain styles, and that's fine. Some of you like my style, some of you don't. That's fine. We're all different. I like Dan Gross's style. I like it. I mean, there's nobody here I don't like their style, but I think about Dan. Dan's different than some of the rest of us. He's kind of quiet. He's kind of dry. He's got a dry sense of humor. I love listening to Dan Gross. And by dry, I'm not saying something negative. I mean, he just puts it out there. He doesn't have that flamboyant style. He just plods along and he puts out the truth. And I like it.
Amen.
No? But it can't be about Jerry or Jerry or Mark or Sam, or Dan, or Jan, or Brian, or Robbie, or it can't be about us. I'm following Brother Steve. I'm following Brother so-and-so. No, I'm following a message that's true, and that preacher happens to preach the message that's true. See, that's what it's got to be about. Look at chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. Verse 1. He goes at it again. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And a lot of those envyings and strifes and divisions and carnality comes from, I've got my favorite preacher, and this preacher preaches it a little different than my favorite preacher. But we've got to be careful about that. For verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Who gave the increase? God gave the increase. Again, it's not about the messenger, it's about the message. Now he that planteth, verse 8, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. It ain't about the messenger, it's about the message. Look at verse 21, 22, 23, at the end of 1 Corinthians 3. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours and ye are Christ's. You're not Sam's, you're not Steve's, you're not Dan's, you're not Mark's, you're not Jerry's, so on down the line. We belong to the Lord. It's about the message, not the messenger. Chapter 4, begin at verse 1. Let a man so account of us as have the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's inquired in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, and I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? It's about the message, not the messenger.
Right.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 1 and 2. Second Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. You reckon that grievous wolf is walking in craftiness? You reckon those who would rise up from among us is walking in craftiness? Not walking in hand, renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Chapter 11. You know we had to get to chapter 11. Begin at verse 1. Would to God, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Paul says, bear with me, put up with me with this. He says, verse 2, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Anything that I have learned from my Bible, whether I just learned it me studying and digging the words out, or whether I learned it listening to some of these men that are going to be preaching here this week, as I heard it preached, I went to the book. I sought to be a Berean. I've never walked away and said, you know, I think Jerry's just got that right because I like Jerry and Jerry's a good guy. I might come back and say, you know, I used to think about it like this, but I heard Jerry preach a message and he pointed some things out in the Scripture that just rung true, and I studied it out and I was wrong and he showed me something I didn't know and I learned something here. That's okay. But again, was it about the messenger? It's about the message. The point I'm making is that everything that any of us really learn and get a hold of for ourselves, that we're grounded in and we're anchored in and we're confident in and we're assured of, we got by getting in the book ourselves. God help me if I ever listen to Steve preach a message and 6 months later go back and preach Steve's message because he preached it and I liked it. But you know, there's circles who do that. Huh? You preach my... We learn from one another. We may say, boy, I heard Jerry say, I heard Steve say, I heard Jan say, I heard Mark say. You know, we may repeat something, but I think you understand the point I'm trying to make. He says, I fear, verse 3, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And the point I'm saying is, it really is just simple. How many times have you had a conversation with somebody, they see the truth, and they say, how did I miss that? It was right there on the page all the time. But if you can't get it, just right there on the page. If you got to go to somebody else and them tell you, well, these three verses was written to the little flock and these three verses were written for the body of Christ. If you can't just get that from reading on your own, that fish is too bony. Simplicity. Paul talks plainly about the judgment seat of Christ. Somebody comes along and tells you, we don't stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That fish just got too bony. Throw it out. Somebody tells you that in the end, everybody's going to be saved. Nobody's going to spend eternity in hellfire. Oh, that fish is just too bony. Did I say that the preacher's lost? No. I do say he lost his mind. Verse 4, and I'm going to have to quit when I finish this particular passage. Verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, who we have not preached, or ye receive another spirit, little s, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So Paul's telling these Corinthians, I'm asking you to put up with me and bear with me a little bit of my folly as I try to make this point with you. He says, because I'm concerned that there's going to be somebody else, some grievous wolf come in after me, some other part from outside, somebody come in from the inside, and they're going to come in and they're going to preach something that's wrong, that's bad doctrine, that's contrary to sound Pauline truth. And Paul says, my concern is that you might put up with them. He says, you might well bear with them. For I suppose I was not a whip behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. And the word's throughly, not thoroughly. There's a point for me saying that too. And those who know, know. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. In all things I've kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, so no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory they may be found even as we. Now verse 13, for such are false apostles. These folks back here from verse 3 and 4, those who would, as the serpent beguiled Eve through a subtlety, would subvert their minds, corrupt their minds from the simplicity in Christ. Those who would preach another Jesus or have another spirit or preach another gospel. So he warns about those. Paul says, I'm concerned that you might bear with them. He says, and I don't want you to. He says, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end should be according to their works. Now I'm out of time, so I'm going to stop. Amen. Bony.